The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
You're very welcome back to the show. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock tonight on TG Cahir at 9:30. It's going to be a fascinating documentary. It is about, well, actually, do you know what? I'm going to let the documentary maker himself tell us what it is about, because it is an incredible story. Kevin McGee is with me now, the investigative journalist. Kevin, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. What will people see when they turn on their televisions at 9:30?
Well, what they'll see is the story of a professor of Celtic studies from Berlin University who goes to Ireland ostensibly to improve his Irish. He's a very talented linguist, a fantastic Irish speaker. He goes to improve his Irish to a tiny little gaeltacht in northwest Donegal called Teelin in 1937, ostensibly to improve his Irish. However, while he's there, he's collecting information and sending it back to the Third Reich in Germany. He's actually a German spy. He writes a report about his time in Ireland. I'll give you some extracts of that maybe later, which is extremely insightful as to how Germany perceived Ireland before the war. And he holds up in Teelin for 6 weeks. One of the first things he does when he gets his lodging secured there is he puts a large picture of Hitler on the wall and he sings German marching songs every morning before he goes for a dip in the Atlantic.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, an incredible story, and that's certainly a great setting for it. You've set it out so well. So you're right. I'd love to hear what the Nazis thought of us. But before all of that, who sent him and why to northern Donegal?
Yeah, he had been in Ireland before, and he was a very talented linguist. He spoke Breton, Welsh, Flemish and Irish. He had been in West Cork. He'd been on the Blaskets. He had worked his way really up around the west coast of Ireland on the 3 or 4 years preceding that. This was his final trip to Ireland in 1937. He started to visit Cork in the late 20s, spent time in the Blaskets, and he was perfecting his Irish as he went along. He wanted to improve his Ulster Irish. That's why he ended up in Teelin in 1937. But I subsequently discovered when I went to Berlin and found an archive that a file on him actually existed in the Bundesarchive in Berlin. He had joined the Nazi party in 1932. In fact, he was a member of the SA, which was like the paramilitary wing of the Nazi party. So he was a Nazi long before he set foot in Teelin. And what he subsequently did then, everything he recorded, lots and lots of different material while he was in Ireland, and he sent it back really to his, there was a network of German spies across Europe at the time, and he was sending his information back to his handler and his superiors in the Third Reich. Some of the things he did in Teelin, for example, one of the interesting things was he used to go fishing in the quay. There's a little harbour there and a quay. He used to go into the water, fish for in and around the bay, Teelin Bay, but the locals noticed that he never had a hook on the end of his line. He had lead weights, and what he was doing was he was measuring the depth of the water between high and low tide and sending that information back to Germany. And I've suspected the reason for that was to test the depth of the water to see if it would be suitable for the landing of submarines if Ireland was ever used as a back door staging point for an invasion of England. Other things he did when he was in Teelin, he took photographs everywhere he went. And he used to say to locals, well, why can't I take photographs? I'm on my holidays. Tourists take pictures. But some of the pictures that he took of the topography and the geography of the area, there was a book, a handbook that was discovered later in the war, which had, it was really a handbook that German soldiers would have used in the event of an invasion of Ireland. And many of the pictures that he took in Teelin, very similar pictures, appeared in that that handbook. Now, I couldn't say for definite that he took the pictures in the handbook, but whenever you look at them and you look at the pictures that he took, there's an enormous similarity.
It is amazing. I'm fascinated by this story. And as you say, if he joined the Nazi party in 1932, it was a member of the SA. This guy is a true believer. This is not somebody kind of frog marched against their will into membership, a true believer in Hitler and the Third Reich. What did the local, beyond kind of, you know, this guy is fishing without a hook and taking some odd photos, what did they make of him? Do we know?
Well, the locals were very suspicious of him, and he used to. There were what were known as ceilidh houses in Ireland at the time, and like where locals would have gathered together to talk about different just everything and anything. But there was one house in particular in Teeling that was quite a political house, and he would go there on a regular basis, really, to and introduce topics about the Germans, about the development of Europe, where it was going at the time. And he was very, very interested then in picking up what the locals said. And in one of the reports that he wrote back to his time in Germany, he divided Irish people really into two categories. He said that Irish people were quite subservient, would believe anything the church told them. And then there was a category outside of that who were free thinkers and people who were interested in trying to find their own way in the world. And they're the people I think that Mulhausen was most interested in. He talked in length. He talked about the economy of Ireland. And I mean, if I could quote to you from one of his reports back to Berlin at the time, he said that all Ireland's economy seems to have a major flaw. And that is particularly obvious to us Germans. And that is waste. And he talked about the fishing industry in Ireland, how undeveloped it was at the time. He said it was easier, quote, to get fresh fish in Bavaria than it is off the west coast of Ireland, despite the fact that the ocean was full of fish. And another observation of his was that, quote, there were millions of pounds of the finest blackberries left rotting on the hedges every year, and yet Irish people preferred to buy artificial orange marmalade imported from Spain. So, I don't know, maybe he had a point about the blackberries.
It's amazing. I don't want to give too much away because I want people to sit down tonight and watch it on the television. But what became of him? Did he stay here throughout the war? Did he go back and fight? What happened?
In 1937, he returns to Germany. And the most extraordinary thing happens in 1939 because the Third Reich starts to broadcast propaganda from Berlin to every country in Europe. And Mulhausen is involved in the very first broadcast of Nazi propaganda into Ireland in Irish. Now, you have to understand the enormity of that at the time, because the Irish military intelligence, who had a unit based in Dublin, in Collins Barracks, they just couldn't believe their ears that this guy was broadcasting propaganda in Irish into Ireland. And it subsequently transpired that it was Ludwig Mulhausen. Now, there's a file, and again, this was a key piece of evidence making the documentary. There's a file on Mulhausen in Cahalbrua Barracks in the Cortland Velita in the military archive as we speak, with Ludwig Mulhausen's name on it and stamped Runde, which means secret. And it tells the Irish military intelligence's view of Mulhausen at the time. And they described him as an enthusiastic Nazi. They said he was an energetic worker. And here's a quote from that file, which says, he approves of Irish whiskey, can be very genial, but can also fly into a violent temper. So he, G2 were onto him at the time, the military intelligence unit of the Irish Army in Dublin.
Well, listen, I won't give away any more than that, Kevin, because it's a great story and I'm sure it'll be very well told tonight on TG Cahir at 9:30. Kevin McGee is the investigative journalist who has put all of this together. Kevin, it's been an absolute pleasure and thanks a million.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4:00. On News Talk.